105 Pets Corner with Flynn Vets, providing a comprehensive veterinary service in Belfast 24/7. See flynnvets.com.
Now, I did promise you that Dan Flynn would join us from Flynn Veterinary Centre, and he's just stepped in. How are you doing, Dan? Are you good?
Very good, Carolyn, yep.
You're here to talk to us about puppy selection today.
A couple of wee things just wanted to run over. We've seen loads of puppies over the summer period there. I think it's a good time to get them because, well, no, the kids are going back to school now, but families are together over the holidays, and it's great that they can socialise and interact. But I just want to talk about, for instance, if you were to come in to me and say, listen, Dan, I'm thinking of getting a puppy, can you give me any advice, just what I would tell people?
Yes, that's good.
And I think it's worth the question to someone who knows what they're talking about before you literally go and do the deed. Most people do this, they get the puppy and then ask the questions later. So it is worth doing a bit of research. And
You don't know what problems you're going to stumble across until you have the puppy and you live. You experience a new puppy in the house.
Well, it's about the selection process and what things you're going to encounter when that happens. And my sister has done this literally within the last 2 months. She got a lovely little chocolate Labrador. But she phoned me up about 3 months ago and says, listen, I'm going to get one. And I knew by then she had done all. She'd been on the internet, she'd been looking at, she nearly had the puppy picked. So I asked the questions, and she didn't like what I'm going to tell. It's not that pleasing. But they wanted me to say, oh yeah, great, just go and get it, bring it back, and we'll have a look at it. So things I'd be asking, like when you ring up the breeder or the person that has the pup, you know, if you get any bad feelings from the phone call, literally it's hang up and move on, because there's always another pup. The pup isn't your responsibility until you take it on. So if you're not that happy with what's been said, or for instance, if they were to say, well, look, that's great, we've only one pup left and there's high demand for it, and maybe I'll meet you down in the car park. There's two things there that I would, warning signs. You don't meet them in a car park, you go to their home so that you see the environment the pup's been brought up in. And if there's only one pup left, it's a possibility that all the other pups have been chosen above that pup. So you can't compare the pup to the other pups in the litter. And that's really, really important. If you're trying to pick, you know, the best puppy for your family, because if you're getting the smallest one, you know, there are possibilities. That is, maybe a runt. Some people love runts and want those to look after them. But there's the smallest puppy, there's a high chance that it just may be the weakest and may have problems later on. Mm-hmm. So you should have the choice. You should go and look at a litter where there's all the pups there, and you pick maybe not the strongest, but something in the middle. I sometimes think the smaller puppies, the breeder may say, oh, look, it was fed well, it was maybe a wee bit bullied by the other ones. But sometimes it may be that that pup just has some developmental issues, that it hasn't progressed as well as the others. And that's my key point today.
Obviously, I would go for the runt.
Everyone does.
You don't want it to be left on its own. Like, you don't want to be left behind. But what you're saying is that the thing is, you're taking on problems. You may be taking on problems.
And the other thing, that's on the phone call, you can work that out. So, like, after listening to me, you may say, well, look, the last puppy's left. You were able to say, before you bond at all to the breeder or to the pup, you know, you could say, well, listen, maybe I'll wait another month and you see a full litter and you can make a better decision then. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, you know, you must go and visit the places. You like to see the mother. You like to see where they're brought up, so that they are socialised. Puppies need to be socialised with, like, if they're in a family where they meet the kids and there's good interaction with humans, mm-hmm. all those things are important.
Yes. Well, I've been in a situation where people have gone to look at a puppy and it has been the last one and the mother hasn't looked great.
Yeah.
It looks like it's had far too many litters.
Yeah.
And you walk away and you think to yourself, do not take that puppy, because you're supporting what they're doing.
Yeah.
But then the other side of the coin is, if you feel you're leaving that, you think, I'm going to give this puppy a good home. Yeah. I mean, how do you work that out? How do you marry that?
I say it's not your problem until you take it on. And certainly if the mother's not in good condition, like, the pup may not be either. So you must be able to walk away. Now, it's easier to walk away if you get the bad feeling. I call them yellow alerts. If you get a yellow alert on the phone call or wherever, that you have to walk away.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you should always visit twice. So you should go once when maybe they're younger and go, oh yeah, I like that one, and maybe put that one aside for me later. And that's the time maybe to go on your own. Don't bring the children or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And then maybe a couple of weeks later, when they're ready to go, have another look. And again, you still can walk away, mm-hmm. because maybe the pup has lost weight or you're not just as happy or there's something not right. You still can walk away and say, look, maybe stall for 2 more weeks and I'll come back again.
Yeah.
Forgot to bring the kids, or make up some excuse. But you nearly need to be prepared to be able to walk away. But it is difficult. It's very, very hard to do.
Also, whenever you're choosing a dog for your family, I mean, because people just see, you just see puppies. I mean, you just see the wee, like, big dogs.
Yes.
I mean, they look tiny whenever they're just born. So you're obviously not thinking that's going to be a big dog.
Yeah.
There's a lot of looking after in a large dog.
That decision about what type of dog is about research prior to it. I don't really get involved in that. Like, how big is your house? Are you going to be able to take the dog for a walk? All those responsibilities. If you're getting a Labrador versus a Shih Tzu, the Labrador is going to need a lot more walking. Mm. So those are all things that, yes, that people have to make that decision for themselves. And like, there's no doubt in the cities, there's lots of small dogs because houses are smaller. But if they're able to get them out walking, the bigger dog, like, there's loads of places to walk the dogs, yeah, is more suitable.
Well, the problems that we're facing now are, like, you know, you can't take big dogs out and let them off the lead.
No, I know.
Now in certain places. So, I mean, it's difficult. You've got to really manage that because they do need walked. Here's some queries coming in here for you, Dan. And Patty says, we have a 4-year-old female, Jack Russell. She's sped, keeps turning on our other male and 3-year-old Jack. She's very vicious. We're thinking of getting her rehomed. Any suggestions?
So she's sped. Maybe the spay has just happened or something like that, but usually turning in the other male, so there's dog to dog attack there, you know, there's a dog to dog problem there, and that is it a historical problem or has that just started to happen? Because it is strange. If it's just started to happen, it is strange.
It wouldn't be because she's just been spayed.
I don't know. Maybe the male isn't. Maybe the male is not neutered. Mm. And therefore, he's entire. So there could be a hormonal interaction there. Like, we do see a lot of dogs where there's multi-dog households and they will have the odd fight.
Yeah.
And sometimes they will damage each other. So it can be a little dominance play, which one wants to dominate.
Is that more of a behavioural thing?
That is behaviour. I don't really have the answer to it there. I think you need more information on that.
Okay. Just wanted to ask about 13-year-old pup. She has to have her second injections on Saturday. Does she need a third injection at 16 weeks? Julie's asking that.
Okay. Sometimes it depends on the first injection. So the first injection can sometimes only have parvo in it. So you will need two further ones after that. But when they're 16 weeks is often associated with Rottweilers, Dobermans, because they feel that. We feel like I have seen this where there's higher risk of parvo. Mm-hmm. So some vets will encourage a third 16-week mm-hmm. injection. So if that's been recommended, yes, I think that's good.
Okay. There's somebody coming in. Jackie says he used to breed puppies and he used to deliver them to the new homes personally just to check out that it was a good home. So I suppose it cuts both ways. Whenever you're taking a dog, you want to make sure that...
That sounds good. That sounds great, but that's not what you want. Mm. So that sounds great. That's reassuring. Oh, the breeder's great, but that's not what you want.
No, you want to go to their home. Yeah.
I'm not being hard on breeders here. Often they'll come up with little strategies so that you don't have to get to their home.
Yeah. But you want to get to that home.
You
want
to get to the home just to see. And it's not, you're not looking into the house. You're just looking to see the environment the pup's been brought up in. And just to go back to what you said there about where the bitch... You said the bitch maybe wasn't in great health and had loads of puppies previously. Like, what we're looking out for there is puppy farms.
Yeah.
And they will not want you coming to their home.
Because once you say it, then that's it. Exposed. So,
like, and a lot of people don't know a lot about puppy farms, but it's just multiple breeding. It's a multiple breeding establishment where often maybe the bitches have had too many litters, but it's the socialisation and the sort of welfare issues of the animals that maybe isn't up to scratch.
Okay.
But that's a broad statement. It's not for all establishments.
But what you're saying, what your advice is, go to the home, make sure you
make
see
your own
inside
mind
that
up
house.
And be prepared to walk away before you meet the dogs.
All right. Wesley McCoy here, 9-week-old pup, keeps biting hands, feet everywhere. Is he teething? That sounds a bit painful.
So
sharp needle teeth.
Well, if it's a new puppy, it's the first thing, and it's the one our girls run puppy classes. It's the thing they have to deal with because they are playing. They are literally nipping and playing. And sometimes it's about teething where the teeth are sore, but that is not at 8 weeks. The teething, they're coming through at 8 weeks and then they start losing them later, but it is a playing thing. Mm-hmm. And they're just going to pull and bite at things.
Give it something to pull and bite on,
exactly,
other than your
try
feet
that,
or your
but
hands.
It is normal now. It's not an abnormal thing, and it doesn't mean that that dog's going to be vicious or anything like that.
Right, okay. Anne says her cat was diagnosed with renal failure and told it had 6 months to live, but that was 3 years ago. She's been giving the cat a weekly tablet, but it's expensive, and she wants to know how long they will keep working. Does that mean anything to you?
So, well, renal failure may mean that when that was diagnosed, her urea and creatinine, her blood levels were high. Mm-hmm. And if they can be managed, if they can be kept down, you know, it can go on indefinitely. There's different things you can use. There's tablets, there's food, there's lots of things you can do. Mm-hmm. So the weekly tablet, I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah.
But probably it means that at the time the bloods were taken, the bloods were high, but they obviously have come down, and mm-hmm. therefore she's done well. She yeah. survived well on it.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably say you need maybe to look at again, repeat the bloods, see where the kidney levels are at. Urine samples mm-hmm. and blood samples and kidney levels are very important, and maybe the kidneys have settled. And mm-hmm. if they're expensive, sometimes there's food you can use. That would be my number one treatment for kidney failure in cats. Is food. Yeah. Get the food, low protein diet, and maybe the tablet may not be
necessary anymore. Yeah. Great to hear this advice. I kind of felt like I'd let a pup I was going to get down until I heard this advice. This literally just happened to me when I phoned Rhea German Shepherd Pup. I got a bad vibe from the phone call. Said mother couldn't be seen as she was a guard dog and vicious. Said it was how I brought the dog up and he would meet me somewhere. I said no way, but felt guilty leaving the pup with the man who is selling her. Great advice, so thank you for that. So the timing was good there, that's the sort of thing.
Well, so on that, just say on the, the other also mentioned, what happens to that puppy? So there's a guilt feeling there. But it's supply and demand. So if everyone says no to that establishment, then, you know, their business is not working anymore because they're not wanted.
Yeah.
Now, that's up to them to decide what they're going to do. The dogs will be still there, but we can't save every dog. What I want is when my clients come in that they have got a dog that's appropriate to their family and that they don't have behavioural issues, they don't have... You know, they just had a good start so that it works for everybody. And yeah. that leads to less rehoming problems yeah. because, yeah, all those things lead to that.
Okay, just another few here to get through. Lewis recently got a pug. He's got a hernia on his stomach. How would Lewis go about getting it removed? Or
okay, so that's an umbilical hernia. It's a little, just at the, in the middle of the tummy. And literally you can sometimes put your finger into it. It's quite common. Other times it'll just be a little bulge of fat coming through from the abdomen. It depends. If they're quite big, I would advise getting it repaired mm-hmm. quite soon.
Right.
If they're not quite big, we would often stall that and fix it maybe when the dog's in to get neutered or mm-hmm. at a later date. But the vet will be able to tell you, does it need to be done sooner or can you wait on
that? So it needs to be looked at. Yeah. You'll get that sorted.
And you'll get that checked. What age was it? You'll get that checked. Usually you'll find that...
It doesn't actually say the age there, it just says...
You'll usually see that at the first injections. The vet will feel that and find it mm-hmm. and advise you from there.
Okay, Fiona says she bought a dog but didn't see the home beforehand. It's now been almost 5 months, but the dog still has scabies. What's happening there? She says it's affecting her house, etc, etc.
Well, scabies...
Whatever, etc.
Scabies is unpleasant. That is mites, that's mange. And, yeah, that needs to be seen. As in, now if it's gone on 6 months, probably the skin is... Have we a definite diagnosis of scabies? Because if it is scabies, that will actually get onto humans. So it could be another mange, demodectic mange, which won't transfer, but you need to get that seen and looked at. Okay. It may have come from the breeder, it may not. 6 months in, it just may be an underlying skin condition, so that needs to be looked at.
Yeah. Okay, loads of queries coming in there, but we're kind of out of time there. You see that one there, Digby, the 6 months old puppy? That's been sent in a few times. Somebody desperate there.
Stop eating his poo. It's a very, very common complaint. I think you'd have to look into the behaviour of the day, of what's happening all day. Like, boredom's one. You have to lift the poo as quick as possible. There are some products you can put in their feed to try and make the poo more unpleasant, mm-hmm. But there's no guarantee there. Often, first thing maybe do is to change the diet to something else.
Yeah.
There's no quick answer to that. Remove it as quick as possible. Make sure the dog has lots of toys and things if the dog's left on its own. Mm-hmm. So make sure there's some activity for when the dog is on its own because... it's a difficult one, that.
Okay, can I just ask you to give your website address?
Yeah, it's flynnvets.com and Flynnvets Facebook page, so there's plenty of info there and you can contact us through that.
All right, Dan Flynn, thank you for your advice today.
No
Cheers.
Problem, thank you.
Thanks.
U105 Pets Corner with Flynn Vets, providing a comprehensive veterinary service in Belfast with clinics open 24/7. See flynnvets.com. Nothing.